Hello, welcome to another edition of The Debate. I'm Kavit Akhwe. International Goods Day has finally arrived, and people in all over the world are celebrating this very important day. One of the things that has happened is that there have been mass rallies, for example, in the capital of Tehran, highlighting the plight of Palestinians, and the liberation of Palestine was conceived by the late founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Imam Khomeini, over three decades ago. But how far has the Palestinian cause come along since? On this debate, we're going to take a look at why this issue needs to be highlighted. We'll also discuss what Iran's soon-to-be president, Hassan Rouhani, has said on this day, the role of the resistance groups, and prospects of a breakthrough in the Israeli-Palestinian talks.
People in different parts of the world have marked the International Quds Day with mass rallies calling for the liberation of Palestine. The International Quds Day was designated by the late founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Imam Khomeini, nearly 35 years ago.
One of the key issues that he spoke about repeatedly since many years before the victory of the revolution itself was the issue of Palestine. And he was a very staunch defender of the Palestinian people and the rights of the Palestinians, and he was completely opposed to Zionism as a racist and unjust ideology, just as he was strongly opposed to apartheid South Africa.
Back then, Imam Khomeini called on all Muslims and non-Muslims across the world to turn out in a show of solidarity with the Palestinian people and in opposition to Israel's occupation.
Imam Khomeini declared the last Friday of Ramadan as International Quds Day. Rallies were held in Iran, and gradually this spread to other countries, including Western countries.
Since then, the protests have grown bigger and turned into an annual event in which people voice their opposition to Israel's aggressions, human rights violations, and occupation policies that are mostly presented in the form of settlement expansions on Palestinian lands. This year's Quds Day comes on the heels of fresh U.S.-mediated talks between the Palestinian Authority and Israel. The so-called peace talks are the first meeting in nearly 3 years. The negotiations have failed to bring any tangible results for the Palestinians.
This is a beginning to end the Palestinian case. These negotiations are not to end occupation or settlements in West Bank, especially when we know that the conditions are for the sake of the Israeli side, which is supported by USA.
It will not get a result. It will be only repeating other talks. The Palestinian side already gave up when they started the talks without halting the building of settlements. Also, the release of prisoners will not happen.
Years of futile talks have earned Palestinians nothing. They have witnessed continued land grab and rights violations, even including children as old as five. Given the unlimited support by the United States to the Israeli regime and the failure of the international community to put pressure on Israel, it seems that Palestinians are left with no option but to continue resisting against Tel Aviv's occupation.
Let me introduce our guest for this edition of The Debate from Neturei Karta International and Jews United Against Zionism. We have Rabbi Dovid Feldman joining us from New York. We also have journalist and political commentator Richard Millett joining us from London. Gentlemen, welcome. Richard Millett, let me first start with you. It was International Al-Quds Day today, and from what we saw in London earlier, lots of people had come out. Do you mark International Al-Quds Day? And if you don't, why not?
Well, I think it's only, if you look at most of these protesters, they're from supporters of Hezbollah. So, and this, as you said in the report, this was inspired by Ayatollah Khomeini. So it's mainly seems to be inspired by Hezbollah. Hezbollah, funny, they're so concerned for the Palestinians, but there they are in Syria helping President Assad murder Syrian, many thousands of Syrian civilians. So Sheikh Nasrallah, instead of being so concerned with group of people, the Palestinians, he's at the same time killing civilians of another country. This is a man, obviously, by his words, who is not to be trusted, who's obviously trying to take, for one moment at least, the spotlight away from what he's doing in Syria. And as ever, we've seen that the people that suffer are the Palestinians, because the Arab governments and Arab leaders proclaim that they're so concerned for the Palestinians. Meanwhile, they're oppressing their own people. And this is what the Palestinians witness time after time. Their main enemy isn't Israel. Israel is now negotiating with the Palestinians, or they're going to start negotiating, hopefully, for peace with the Palestinians, for a two-state solution. But at the same time, unfortunately, the Palestinians' main enemy are their supposed Arab brothers and sisters, who at the end of the day have no concern for them, except when it comes to taking the spotlight off what their own governments are doing to them and putting it on the Palestinians.
I'm not too sure how you went from international al-Quds to Hezbollah in terms of what Hezbollah has done in defending the territory of Lebanon by aiding some of the Assad forces in these insurgents who have been noted to not only kill, execute, but also eat livers out of people's hearts. Now, let's bring in Rabbi David Feldman in. Rabbi David Feldman, International Al-Quds Day, I believe that it's going to be something that you're going to participate in and mark. Tell us more about that.
Yes, we are going to participate in it. We find Al-Quds Day to be a very important day. We have members of our communities worldwide attending about 10 major cities participating in the Al-Quds Day rallies. And the reason why we find this so important is because what's happening already in Palestine for decades, including Al-Quds Jerusalem, is very painful. When we see all these tragedies, this occupation, and all what goes along with this already for decades, this is really painful. It should be painful for every human person. And we say this as Jewish people, that we find this very painful as Jews following Jewish religion, when all of these crimes is totally forbidden, not only in human rights laws, in international laws, this is wrong within Jewish religious law. Killing, stealing, all of this is totally forbidden, especially when this is being done in the name of Jews and supposedly in the name of all Jews. This is really embarrassing, and it's painful when this is being sometimes done in the name of the Jewish religion. This is really painful. That's why we stand up not only on Quds Day. Quds Day is one opportunity when we find this very appropriate and very important in the time that many other communities stand up and express their total opposition to all what's going on. We find this as Jewish people very important to participate and express our feelings, show to the world and to the Palestinian people that we are totally against this.
Richard Millett, why don't you bring Rabbi David Feldman out of the pain that he said and the suffering that he talked about?
Well, it's a shame that he's keeps going on about Israel, but again, as I've mentioned, he doesn't seem to be talking about real human rights abuses that are taking place in Syria, in Iran, in Saudi Arabia, in Libya, in Tunisia. The real oppression that's taking place in these countries at the hands of their governments.
Well, why don't we talk about Israel? Why don't we talk about some of it that happens in the occupied territories, and we'll move on to some of the other countries and make some comparisons. How's that? Let's start with the occupied territories, the subject being Al-Quds and Palestine.
Well, at the moment, if you go to the occupied territories, as you call them, there are certainly restrictions. But these restrictions, unfortunately, are there for a reason. They are security inspired, because we have seen terrible tragedies in Israel. We've seen suicide bombers go into Israeli restaurants and blow civilians sky high. We've seen Jewish families being slaughtered with little babies in their cots, having their throats slit while they were asleep by Palestinian terrorists. Once there's peace, as hopefully there will be, between the parties that are taking place over the next 9 months, or however long it's supposed to take place, then there will be the Palestinian state, which will be very, very painful for the Israelis to an extent that they will have to give up certain places of religious worship that they have always turned to. But the Israeli people are willing to do this for them, painful sacrifice if it would mean that there would be peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians. So there will be painful sacrifices for the Israeli people to make.
Well, Rabbi David Feldman, you can see that's the Israeli side of things. You fill Richard Milliton on the Palestinian side of things, which you did, but the question I asked before, and I could touch on some examples, the Judaization of Jerusalem al-Quds, the separation wall, and all these other acts that are exercised in the occupied territories that are deemed illegal by international organizations like the UN, like the ICJ, like many other organizations that even go against the Geneva Accords and what have you.
What's happening, all these crimes, occupation, and what you just mentioned, all of this is terrible, and I must say, I would not say because I'm Jewish, I should defend the crimes against the Palestinian people and just turn to all other human rights violations in all other countries. Yes, whatever is happening in the entire world, if it is an oppression against other people, if it's crimes against other people, then it should concern all of us, and it does concern all of us. But it's not because I'm Jewish, I would turn my eye away from Israel to others. It's the other way around. It's because I'm Jewish, and these crimes happen to be in the name of our people, then I oppose this before I oppose everything else. Now again, I'm still, it pains everyone wherever there is pain and wherever there is suffering. And I would add, what is happening in Palestine against the Palestinian people is painful. Tragedies which are happening to Jewish people is painful. I'm Jewish and I say this as I'm a Jew, and I'm sure that non-Jewish people would say the same. But again, I'm coming back to the point, it's because I'm Jewish, I am so pained to what's happening to the Jewish people as well. It's because I'm Jewish and because I'm concerned for the suffering people, including the Jewish people. Therefore, I'm so upset to what is happening for decades, what caused this bloodshed on both sides. We as Jewish people, it's our communities before I was here, before I was born. Before 1948, there was already problems. But when we go back to the 1920s and the early 1920s, Jewish people did live in Palestine and in other Muslim countries in peace. If you study history, then you would find that. If you would find some individual stories that happened, not that comfortable stories, there were very, very little of that, and you would not find many of it. The famous Hebron massacre, which happened in 1929, we have documentation on this. This was a direct outcome of the aggression of those immigrant Zionists that intimidated the Palestinian people. All what we see today in Palestine, including surrounding areas, where there is a terrible hate between our peoples, the Muslim people and the Jewish people, a lot of this hate was created, or at least exacerbated, because of the invention of Zionism. And this is terrible from all sides, to all people involved in this conflict. And this is very painful. Therefore, we say that we need to understand what is the root cause to all of this, and we need to have this cause put aside. And therefore, we say that the solution is not necessarily the two-state solution. The solution is that this entire occupation should be stopped. All rights should be restored to the Jewish people. To the Palestinian indigenous population. Muslims, Christians, and Jewish people, all of us lived in the country, in the Holy Land, and all of us did live in peace. We can live in peace, and we should be able to live in peace in the future.
Richard Millett, some of the statements there Rabbi David Feldman talked about, it makes a distinction somewhat between Zionism and, of course, Jewish people. And it's been used interchangeably when we talk about Zionism and sometimes the Israeli regime as being pretty much a problem that is a solution has not been reached in decades upon decades. Do you agree with that assessment that was made there by Rabbi Dovid Feldman regarding Jews and the distinction that he made between that and Zionism?
Well, he is coming, you've got to understand, he's coming from the extremist religious ideology. He's not concerned with really with the Palestinian people or any sort of problems that the Israeli people are having and the Palestinian people are having. He's looking at this solely through an ideological prism, a religious ideological prism or religious prism, that he believes that Israel should not exist because the Messiah didn't come down, didn't point his finger and say, now the Jews are allowed to go to that part of the world and live there. And that's why he's saying what he's saying. He's totally devoid from the real world, where we've even seen now the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, come together to negotiate with the Israeli people. These are people who are living in the real world, who want to see peace between the two people. What would happen if my colleague in America had his way was that, yes, they would go back to what happened in 1929, where his brothers and sisters were massacred in Hebron. And that is unfortunately what would happen, because that was what existed before Israel came into existence. He's not living on the real world. Thank God that there are Palestinians and Israelis who are living on the real world and who really do want to negotiate on planet Earth, not in the heavens, and actually do want to create a Palestinian state side by side with a secure Israeli state.
You got it. Rabbi Dovid Feldman, obviously a reaction from you. Our guest Richard Millett says that you're not living in the real world by some of the statements that you've made.
Yes. First of all, we have to clarify that being religious and practicing religion and being followers of a religious ideology does not detract a person of living on planet Earth in reality. And I have to add that because we are living in reality and we see peace talks already going on for a very long time, it doesn't take us anywhere. Well, we said this already for decades back when the first Oslo Accords, by the first peace talks, we said that according to Judaism, to Jewish teachings, this will never be successful. Why? Because according to Jewish religion, even without all this aggression, even without crimes being done against other people, even if this would be in total peace with all people, it's still forbidden for Jews to create a state of our own, because according to Jewish belief, we are in exile. We are forbidden to create a state of our own. We are forbidden to fight other people in physical terms. All of this is totally forbidden according to Judaism. And we say because we are living in physical world, we see what's happening. We experience all suffering from all sides. Therefore, we say that in practical terms and on a religious basis, all of this is totally wrong. And the only way we can expect a nicer future is when we think back of the very example that my colleague from London just mentioned, the Hebron massacre, what I mentioned before. Yes, the Hebron massacre is an exact example that we have to have in front of our eyes, including all massacres that happened all these decades since 1929 from all sides. Blood that was shed, unfortunately, painfully enough, from all sides. We have to have all of this in front of our eyes and understand and rethink what was the cause to all of this. This was a fight that began by people that came up to the Holy Land against the will of the Palestinian people, Muslims, Christians, and the Jewish community. Uh-huh. At the time, this was opposed by Rabbi Dushinsky in 1947, before the creation of the state, in the name of all Jewish, the Jewish minority of Jerusalem. When we speak about Al-Quds Day today, Jewish people look back to Jerusalem prior to 1948. We look back to our religious leaders from the very beginning of Zionism or even before that. This is totally against our tradition, against our religion. on a religious basis and in practical terms. And we pray that all of this should stop. We hope that this would be without any suffering of any person. And our mantra is, we say that we pray for the peaceful and speedy dismantlement of the entire state of Israel.
Okay. Well, let's switch gears a little bit here. Richard Millet, there was a statement that was made on this day, International Al-Quds Day, here in the capital, Tehran, by Iran's soon-to-be president, Hassan Rouhani. Do you have a reaction towards what he said?
What was he saying about how the Palestinians have suffered all these years, as I understand it?
Well, I'll tell you what he said. He said, in our region and under occupation of Palestine and Jerusalem, there has been a wound on the body of the Islamic world.
Of the Islamic world. Well, what is happening in the Islamic world, in the wider Islamic world at the moment? Again, we see that he's trying to take the spotlight off what's happening in Iran and what Iran is getting involved in Syria and potentially in Lebanon, the destabilization
I'm sorry,
of Lebanon
but you seem to stray
well.
Into Syria quite often when the questions are asked. I mean, if you want to open up... let's take your arguments about how the regional countries, Arab countries, are not helping the Palestinians because they're involved in Syria. I believe that's what you said, Richard Millet. But aren't these same Arab countries having Western countries like the United States in particular, not to mention Israel, being behind the backing of some of these insurgents and the attacks that are taking place, which results in deaths? So, you know, that's, of course, a whole nother debate. But Hassan Rouhani made a statement, and I thought that perhaps you had heard what he said, and of course, how the words were twisted later or misunderstood. I was curious, again, if you had a reaction towards what he said. I'll turn to Rabbi David Feldman. Iran's late leader, Imam Khomeini, Rabbi David Feldman, I'm sure you know, he started International Al-Quds Day over 3 decades ago, and he saw an importance for this day. And I'm curious what your impression is of Iran's late leader realizing the importance of this day in order for it to be highlighted at that time for the Palestinian cause, which has morphed or evolved into actually not only to involve Muslims to come out, but also resist against what has also been said to be people who are oppressed by these powers.
Yes, we always appreciated the words of the late Imam Khomeini regarding Palestine, and we always said that what we especially appreciate his understanding, which he made clear in many occasions, the difference between Judaism and Zionism. Today, there are people who struggle with this confusion, following mainstream media by believing that the state of Israel represents all Jews, which is totally wrong, and the Imam Khomeini was one of the great leaders that understood the difference between Judaism and Zionism, between the Jewish people following the religion and Zionist people following the political.
Okay, I'm sorry, I got to jump in here. We're just fresh out of time. I do apologize. From Neturei Akarta International and also Jews United Against Zionism, Rabbi David Feldman there from New York. Also like to thank Richard Millet. Thank you, journalist and political commentator from London. And thank you for watching another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Tehran and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.